es ist so einfach, dass es schwierig ist, es wirklich zu verstehen. Sei herzlich willkommen zu einer weiteren Episode meines Podcasts Seelenfunken, dein Podcast für Leichtigkeit und Tiefe für ein erfülltes Leben. Mein Name ist Peter von A. und meine Berufung ist es, Licht zu erinnern und Liebe zu verkörpern. Und schön bist du wieder dabei. Es ist so einfach, dass es schwierig ist, es zu verstehen. Ja, unser Verstand ist grandios. Unser Verstand ist grandios, ihm Dinge kompliziert zu machen, wenn es doch so einfach ist. Das ist ein wesentlicher Inhalt des Interviews, das ich jetzt dann gleich mit John Davis führen werde. John Davis ist ein absolut wundervoller Mensch. Ein sehr tiefgründiger, spiritueller Mensch mit einer unendlich großen Erfahrung. Und ich freue mich heute, dieses Interview auf Englisch führen zu dürfen und dich mit auf die Reise zu nehmen. John Davis kenne ich schon seit einigen Jahren und wir hatten schon verschiedene Gespräche. Und was mich bei John unglaublich fasziniert, ist, dass er vor über 2000 Jahren, dass sein Seelenfunken mit Joshua, mit Jesus unterwegs war. Er mag sich an ganz, ganz vieles erinnern und genau dieses Wissen bringt er in die Sitzungen, die er mit den Menschen hält oder in die YouTube-Videos, die er täglich postet. Und da mag ich dich jetzt mitnehmen. Dieses Interview wird ziemlich sicher untertitelt sein auf Deutsch. Und sollte das nicht möglich sein, Stefan gibt sein Allerbestes, mein lieber Podcastmeister. Und wenn das nicht möglich sein sollte, dann mach es doch wie mein Kaffeelieferant aus Bali, der hört und sieht sich die Videos an jede Woche. Und er versteht aber kein Wort Deutsch. Doch was er sagt ist, ich liebe es, die Stille wahrzunehmen und die Schwingung von dir wahrzunehmen. Also, Herausforderung akzeptiert, falls dein Englisch vielleicht jetzt nicht das Beste ist. Tauch ein und lass dich tragen von der Schwingung, von der Frequenz, von der Energie des Interviews. Und ich freue mich, jetzt mit dir ins Interview mit John Davis einzutauchen. A most wonderful good afternoon. I'm very looking forward to this episode of my podcast, Glimpse of Soul. And I feel really honored and really deeply excited to have a very special guest for my first interview in English. And this guest is someone who I know, I guess, for maybe 4 years or even more. I have no idea.
Yeah.
This is the most wonderful person, John Davis.
Wow.
John Davis make my life much, 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 much easier because, well, actually, he doesn't make it easy because the challenge is he always taught me life is easy. But it's hard to, please continue, it's hard to comprehend.
Hard to comprehend, exactly. It's exactly right. And that was something that came from a spiritual experience I had a long time ago. And under hypnosis, I literally said, it's so simple, we have a hard time comprehending it.
And thank you for being here today, John. It's a really a huge and great honor. And I guess my community, they don't know you yet. But they will definitely know you after.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Peter. I think of you as a friend, and I enjoy our time together immensely. And I'm so glad that we can now share this friendship with your audience.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Who is John? Who is John Davis?
Oh, you're opening a can of worms, my friend. You are opening a can of worms. I am raised in a big Catholic family, a total of seven children, and I had a rough childhood. My father was not a kind man, and when I was in my, I guess, early 30s. I started having all kinds of different intuitives and psychics and mediums tell me about a specific past life I had had. And whether you believe that or not, I still struggle with what is reincarnation in general. But after 19 of them spontaneously told me the same past life, I went and I had a past life regression with a doctor of hypnotherapy, someone who is very well qualified. And under that regression, I remembered the life of John the Beloved Apostle. And this was a big emotional struggle for me coming from Catholicism, because we don't believe in reincarnation in Catholicism. And over the course of time, I've met a lot of people who believe that they were John or something like that. So I, at this point, I don't realize I know what reincarnation is. But it put me on a spiritual journey where I began studying everything I could possibly study. I studied, you know, Buddhism and Hinduism and Baha'i and Wicca and Jainism and, you know, everything I could get my hands on just to find what my truth was. Because I know that my personal truth is my choice. You know, my mom, this beautiful woman behind the green light back here, and the reason she has a green light behind her is because she gave me the green light to explore outside of Catholicism. And so I went and I started studying, and I found that there are beautiful truths in all ideologies, be they new or old. But when you look at them, you're looking at the truths. You find them when you're looking through love, and you lose them when you're looking through fear. And so when you come to that expression of, who am I now? I am John, and I am love, is my now my belief system. And I live that in every present moment, because it's the only moment that I'm conscious.
I am John, and I am love.
Yeah. That's who I am.
Exactly. Why, in your opinion, is love so important?
In my personal opinion, I believe, in my personal truth, I believe that everything is love. And we live in a world that is made of love, but we come and we have the experience of our fears and anxieties to have the illusion of our separation from that love. And, you know, we have all the experiences in life, because if we never had the illusion of that separation, we could never know what love truly felt like. And so I believe the substance of the universe is love. And when we come to this place, this physical understanding, this physical awareness, we lose that connection so we can find it again. You know, the Buddha said the secret to enlightenment is the eradication of fear. And the Sufis say the veil between you and God is your fear, and our life is the struggle against the veil, and we can overcome the veil. And once again, going back to the Bible, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, right? I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. I look at love as the sun and the sky, and I look at the clouds as the fog that hides the sun and the sky, but the sun and the sky are always there.
Mm-hmm. So you went with Jesus, you call him Jeshua.
Yeah, Jeshua, yeah.
Exactly, Jeshua. So whenever we talk about Jeshua, we talk about Jesus in that way. Yeah. But there was a, so for, this is for the audience, and I think, what would Jeshua say today about what we are going through?
Well, Jeshua was all about the present moment, right? And when you look at the present moment, Jeshua, even in his most dark times, was love. He literally was loving the people around him. He was telling them, you know, let go of these fear-based ideologies and come back to this loving space. So what he would say to us today is, make your part of the world love, and the rest of the world will take care of itself, because people in the world want to be loved. They want to be surrounded by love, and they don't want to be told what to do in any way, shape, or form. But if you can be the bright spot, then they can make their own choices. They can choose to be that love, and then the world will change that way. You know, empathic people, and empathic is an interesting word, because modern New Age ideologies talk about being an empath. I just think empathic people are people who have a sort of a greater empathy. They sort of feel more than others. And there are some people who are very cerebral and some people who are very feeling and visceral. And so to me, the concept of what would Yeshua say today is keep yourself in the feeling of love so that the world can change around you. And he, you know, if you think about the things he said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Greater works than I have done, you will do. You know, think not upon tomorrow, be here today. He's literally saying right here, right now. Even the word amen means so be it. It means right here, right now, it's done. So think not upon tomorrow, be here today is all about choosing to be loved in the now and living. And I'll tell you from personal experience, when I got out of my fears, my anxieties and stresses, and I just started living love in the now, I made more friends and had more beautiful experiences with people I'd never met. They were my friends as soon as I met them, right? Because I was just loving them as they were. My pizza man, and I know more about my pizza guys, delivery guys, than anybody else ever knows about, because we get talking, we enjoy that moment, right? I tend to live, as Yeshua would say in his final commandment, I leave you one commandment, love one another. And so I just love one another. And that's what Yeshua would say. Just go love one another.
Is there anything to add on?
No.
No, not no. At all.
It's so simple, we have a hard time comprehending it. And you know, it's so funny because we create our experience with our own belief, our present moment belief. You know, when Yeshua said it's your faith that heals you, he was literally saying your healing is about what you believe about it. And so it's your faith that heals you. And what's so interesting about that is there are people in the world who are really good creators. They're just creating struggle. And they're good at it. They're really good at creating struggle, right? I can stand right next to that person and be having an amazingly beautiful, loving time because my experience is my experience, and I'm creating that as a loving experience. And I don't have to judge them for their struggle. In fact, I can be the example of non-struggle so they can go, oh, what's so good for you? And then I can then tell them why I don't struggle.
Are people aware that they have the capacity to create all this stuff?
Well, the problem with that, and I love your use of the word capacity, because 85 to 90% of every day we're in our subconscious mind, which means 85 to 90% of the words coming out of our mouth are coming from our subconscious mind. But our subconscious mind is an underlying belief about our present moment. Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand first what our subconscious is believing. But here's the interesting thing about the subconscious. The subconscious is the underlying belief below our past experiences. So it's literally we're living in a sort of the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. He lived every day over and over and over and over again, right? They're living the same day over and over again because they are subjecting themselves to the beliefs of the past. Well, right in the Bible, it says you must be born again or you must become as a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. And both of these beliefs say you have to shut down that past experience because the child has no past, and being born again means you're a child again and you have no past. So it comes down to breaking free of that subconscious belief. But that subconscious mind is created in each present moment. So it's a matter of getting very present, very fearless, and very conscious in choosing what's happening, as opposed to believing things are happening because of the past experience. You know, your future will be exactly what you believe it is because the future is substance waiting for your belief. And the past is just a collection of present moment memories that you can't change back there. But you only live in the conscious present moment. And when you rend control of the conscious, well, not rend, but when you take control of the conscious present moment and say, I am creating something new and I step into my divinity, then your life changes because now what's happening is that present moment belief is creating a ripple in behind you. And those become your subconscious beliefs. And the other thing is that the subconscious mind is a habitual mind. And in being a habitual mind, we can change the habit. But science is very clear that somewhere between 21 and 60 days of repetitive action creates habit. So we have to stay focused in our present moment for a minimum of 3 weeks to even get started to change our experience. Mm. But once we start and we start to see it changing, our beliefs change.
And when our beliefs change, we start to grow faster because now we're just totally in the space of, I am creating. And next thing you know, everything changed. And what did Moses say God's name was? I am that I am. The result is what I'm being in the present moment.
It's always about the present moment, right?
It's always.
Not about who I was or who I will be. It's all about I am.
And, exactly.
And you know, when I'm listening to you, I'm very curious about how would our planet look like if human beings would be aware that we are so amazing creators.
Yeah.
That we would have this power.
Yeah, John Lennon sang about it, the song Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's a religion. I am right here in the now is really what he's talking about. You know, letting go of the doctrines, the dogmas, the ideologies, even the simple beliefs of our own experience, and coming back and going, I am directing this experience into a beautiful world, a beautiful expression. And you know what's interesting is that we live in a collective consciousness, and the world has been turning towards a more beautiful world for decades. And people don't realize that because they see the stimulus of the world, you know, reacting around us. And we look at the news, and the news is only focuses on the negative because that's what sells, that's what gets ratings. But you know, my child, he's now 22 years old, and from the time he was a little kid, he wasn't racist, he wasn't homophobic, he wasn't xenophobic, he had no phobias, and he wasn't gender biased, you know, and all of his classmates are the same. They're exactly the same. The next generation is far more beautiful because and why is that? Well, the universe consciousness is like a giant cargo ship full of ideas and thoughts and ideas. And when they turn the wheel of a cargo ship, it takes miles for the bow to come around. And they are the proof that the bow is coming around. And, you know, old guys like me who remember the Wild West, not really, but, yeah, right. Well, we remember how tough things were in the 60s, 70s, and how things were very different. And we look at it now, we see this eruption of people trying to limit people and subjugate people and throw fear. But when Socrates said, when the debate is lost, slander becomes the tool of the loser, he's talking about now. Because if you think about what slander is, it's name calling. You know, that's all that's happening right now is we're hearing a bunch of name calling. But the people who are living loving lives aren't standing for it. And there's more of us than there are of them.
Well, again, how would our world look like if we would all be aware that we have this amazing power in us?
Yeah. The world would change in such a dramatic way. I mean, every aspect of our life would be easier. We would be, you know, helping each other. We see that person in need, we would break them free of the need and bring them to where we are, which is what we were just talking about, if all of us came to that place. And once that happens and we all come to that place, we've now reached a place where we can truly bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. We can truly have nirvana in the now, in the physical. Right, because the physical is just a representation of our own belief, and the more people who believe that way, the world will change into that direction, and we will bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Well, what is the kingdom of heaven? It's love.
Exactly. Why do you think are we not aware, or are many people not aware about the power they actually have?
Well, they're subjugated to belief systems from an early age. You know, if a religious family, they're subjugated to the doctrines and dogmas of an ideology of religion. You know, the Catholic faith gives children original sin. So before they can even think they're bad, right? You know, they're already wrong. They're already in trouble, right? And that ideology has been slowly disappearing. And what I find really interesting is that we subjugate ourselves simply because as children, we're given belief. You know, myself, my father was not a kind man, as I said, he's an alcoholic abuser. And I was the subject of that attack. Of our seven kids, I was the one who he didn't like. But, you know, it's so interesting having come into this experience with those beliefs that I wasn't worthy, that I was deserving of what I was getting, right? And it came to the point where I realized that number one, we're all one. We're all in this oneness of God together. Mm-hmm. God consciousness, yada, yada. I call it God because mom was Catholic. But in this expression of oneness, my father, why would he act so fearfully and harm another? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because his father was an alcoholic abuser. Mm-hmm. And so he was handing that down. So I could look at this expression as a subjugation to his ideas about me, or I can choose to be present and release those ideas.
Exactly.
And my son is 22 years old. He's never had a hand laid on him. He tells me he loves me every day. I tell him I love him every day. He's probably my best friend. You know, we are just very close. Mm. And I think it comes down to the beliefs that we're given, be they from ideologies or from experience. You know, they were the experiences that we believed because it was the only experience we had. And to be here is to be able to go, okay, I am now choosing the new experience. I am putting the past down and I am coming to my present and I am directing it. You know, there's an analogy I like to use. It's like when you seek a path is laid before you. But until you turn the path back to yourself, you find the doorway. That's a quote from my friend Jeshua from one of my regressions. But the path isn't interesting to me. There is no path ahead. The path is formed as you place your foot. It forms behind you as an experience. But where you place it, that path will be as smooth or as rocky as you choose it to be. Mm. And you can literally say, I am, you know, walking easily downhill, or I am climbing a craggy cliffside. And I tend to choose easy because I'm lazy. I tend to choose easy because that's, everybody wants to live a life of ease and comfort and fun. Even adventure can be easy, you know, but it's a matter of what do you believe about the moment.
Absolutely. Was it always that, like that with you? When you were younger, before you had this experience and this regression, how did your life look like?
My life was, when I was a kid, was I had a very strange life. And the reason my father took it out on me is because when I was young, I was having out-of-body experiences and I was talking to imaginary people in the room and I was having all these big esoteric experiences, and my blue-collar plumber father didn't like the weird kid, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I ended up with that. This is a moment I call my epiphany moment, and this is long before my regression moments. I literally was in a store and the cashier gave me $5 too much change. And I was walking out, I was counting my money. Oh, and I realized it. And I walked back in. I said, I'm sorry, you gave me $5 too much change. Next person in line says, well, there's something you don't see every day, an honest person. And I felt this wash of love come over me. Mm-hmm. And it filled me. I mean, that's the best way to say it. It filled me, right? And I'm like, thank you. And I walked out of the store and I'm walking to my car. And something within me clicked, and I said, I know this feeling. And I literally said, Jesus, is that you? I called him Jesus at that point because I had no idea about my regression yet. Jesus, is that you? And it happened again, had this full wash. Now, the day before that happened, because of my experience with my father, I was trying to get my father's approval. And my father was a racist, homophobic. Mm. And I was becoming one. I was literally saying horrific things to people and doing terrible things. Mm. When I felt the purity of love in that moment, in that parking lot, I was no longer racist. I was no longer homophobic. I had none of those fear-based biases anymore. And I realized that everything's one. And then that was a struggle because I was like, I had no foundation for what I was experiencing. And I didn't feel like I could talk to my mom, who had her master's degree in liturgy, about what I was experiencing. So I just didn't, you know. And it wasn't until my regression where I really started doing all the studies that I've done.
So isn't that fantastic to, sorry for interrupting you, isn't that fantastic just to be aware with that epiphany moment how everything has changed in your environment?
Everything. And you know, there's a quote in the Bible that says, perfect love drives out fear. And for me, that's what happened when I was 19 years old. I had all these fears of not, you know, the hierarchies and putting people in their place to feel powerful. That's just the fear of not being powerful, right? And what happened was I, in that moment, lost the fear, and I had the expression of fear washed from my life.
Exactly. But what I mean is you are also the generation of slide projectors, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say that again. Yes, yes, I am.
Exactly. So actually what happened
is... Are you saying I'm old, Peter? Are you saying I'm old?
No.
I'm teasing.
As we know, we are almost the same age, right? And uh-huh. But the thing is, the slide, you know, the thing is we have to be aware which slide we are radiating, actually. And because that's what we are experiencing in the outside.
Yeah.
And you have changed that slide at that moment. And everything has changed.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they talk about putting on your rose colored glasses or whatever. To me, it was taking off the fog colored glasses. Mm-hmm. I suddenly took off all the fears and the anxieties. The analogy I like to use about the world is, and I said this earlier with the sun, but this is actually a better analogy. Imagine if you're living in a world that is the consistency of just pure love, and it's white, and you're in this room of pure love, and there's a fog that gets thick, and you can't see it, and there's a fog that gets thin, and you can't see it, and you're looking at why, you know, well, this is so, you know, sometimes I feel great, sometimes I don't, mm-hmm. and everything changes when you realize that your hand is on the knob of the fog machine.
Exactly.
Right. Suddenly you're like, oh, hey, crap, I could do that myself, right? And so it comes down to that idea that the power is always yours. It always has been. It always will be. It's just a matter of what are you doing with it.
Absolutely. So imagine we have some people who are watching this YouTube video for the first time. They had no idea before. What would their first steps be just to become aware?
Hi, I love that question because it's so simple they don't realize it. You know, in Star Wars, I'm going to bring up one of the greatest and most wisest people that ever lived, Yoda. Yoda said, named must your fears be before banish them you can. Mm-hmm. Named must your fears be before banish them you can. You have to identify, but in the naming of it, there's a feeling. And in that feeling is what's known as the primal fight or flight response. And what happens is whenever we have any fear, good, big, small, tiny, whatever, any fear, we start to store air in our lungs so that we can either run or fight. Right? So we're now storing air, so we have a reserve. So the number one thing you can do to start getting present is exhale. Just let the air out and come back. And then before you think anything, before the chatter of the mind comes in from your experience, just exhale and feel how good that feels. And then realize God and love speaks to you in feelings, not thinkings. And when you come back to the place of feeling that love, feeling that natural state, when you let all the fear out in that exhale, you start to realize that you are that love. You are that expression. And then in that moment, you can go, oh. And then anytime you start to feel mad, sad, frustrated, angry, realize those are just fears and you're storing air. And just exhale again. Bring your back to that state. And the more, if you can just keep putting yourself in that state in the present moment, the world around you will become calm. It'll become easier. It'll become more loving. And you'll start to look at other people and you'll see the fears and the anxieties in therein. And because you're not letting the chatter of your mind run, you can hear what they're saying about their present moment. You can start to listen to the things that they're fearful about. And if you're also, because you're clear of mind, you will get solutions for their fear. And you can offer solutions rather than offer criticisms.
But the stillness can also be very fearful.
Only if you choose it to be, my friend. Only if you choose it to be.
I know, but I think this is something, you know, it might be pretty frightening when it becomes very peaceful.
Yeah.
Shit, what should I have to do now?
Yeah, yeah. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Well, I am and God is the statement. Be still and know that you are God. Know that you are the creator. And in that stillness, we have responsibility because now we're the creator of our experience. You know, I didn't create that terrible thing in my life. Well, what did you believe? Well, I believe things are terrible in the world. So, you know, they don't take responsibility for choosing something better. When they asked Mother Teresa to go to an anti-war rally, she said, no, have a pro-peace rally and I'll come. You know, this idea of keeping your mind on the positive outcome. The Bhagavad Gita says, thought by thought, you forge your destiny. Therefore, to keep your mind on the positive rather than the negative is considered the austerity of the mind. And my favorite guy, Shakespeare, that guy, right? he says, there's nothing good nor bad, but thinking makes it so.
Exactly. You know, in one of my last videos or episodes, I have broadcasted that was, the moment itself is natural, it's neutral, but yeah. It depends which color you put on.
Yeah.
And based on that, it's what is going on in the future then.
Right.
I have a choice. Everything, every moment, every situation itself, it's neutral.
Right.
But right. when I feel afraid about something or I'm shocked or whatever, that creates the outcome.
Right, right. And, you know, I love that analogy because it ties into an analogy of my own. You know, I often say God is the paint, the paintbrush, and the canvas.
Yeah.
But what goes on the canvas with the paint and the paintbrush is what we choose to put on it.
Exactly.
And so the outer expression, the final painting, is a collaboration between me and the universe, me and God. But it all starts with the inspiration that I put out there.
And I guess this is exactly what makes it so difficult to understand how easy it is that we are constantly creating.
Right.
That we have infinite power to create in every single second.
Yeah. And not only the power to create, but we are creating in a single second.
Exactly.
And it's a matter of figuring out what you're creating sometimes, you know. I often have people tell me that they believe struggle equals growth. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, how long do you want to struggle? And they go, oh, I don't want to struggle, but you're focusing on struggle. So you're creating struggle, right? And then I say, you know, if you go to the gym on leg day and you're going to work your legs out, one guy's going to walk into the gym. He says, I hate leg day. This is a terrible thing. It's painful, horrible. And he goes over to the racks and he lifts the weights and it's like, oh, this is terrible. Oh, this hurts. And then as he walks out, he's going, oh, my legs hurt so bad. I hate leg day. He walks away. Next guy walks in the gym. Says, man, it's leg day. I love growing my legs. And he walks over to the rack. He lifts the same weights, does the same sets, same reps, does all the stuff this other guy did. Walks out of the gym saying, man, feel the tension in my legs. My legs are growing. One of them chose to struggle. One of them chose not to. Yeah. The one of the quotes that I love comes from a young woman who was a singer on America's Got Talent. Her name was Nightbird. And she came on stage and she was this lovely, very frail-looking, beautiful woman, and she was very, very thin. And she comes out and she starts to tell her story. And she had cancer; she was dying of cancer. And she's like, "Yeah, I have a 2% chance of living." Basically, is what she's saying, right? But she's like, "I wanted to come out and sing and do this." And she sings this song, saying, "It's okay," which was just an amazing song about her own journey. But she said something in the interview that was just lovely. She says, one of the Simon or one of the guys says, so how are you doing now? He says, well, you know, I'm living a beautiful life. I'm living a fun life. She says, you don't have to wait till things aren't hard to be happy. And that line to me is killer because it's like, it literally says, I can choose my experience no matter what's happening in the world. And that's what people can do now. When things are happening in the world that seem scary, and we can start to change the experience of the world just by being the love and living the love.
Exactly. It's all about love. We always come back to love. And for me, that's the path to go. Definitely. That's for sure. I think it's the same for you as well. And because it's all about love, and how would our our world look like, and many, many companies, if they would lead with love?
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting is when I used to be a corporate speaker, and one of the things that I would do is I would go in and my speech was all about what I called the five F's: fearlessly, focus with faith, follow through with flexibility. So basically staying on the course of a positive outcome, staying into love and all that. But one of the things I used to tell all the corporations was that when I traveled around the world, I've been to 30 countries, and I asked in every country what was most important. And the number one thing was always family. It was never my religion. It was never my history. It was my family. My family, the most important thing. Well, what is the family? The family is the physical representation of love in the physical world. Mm-hmm. So it literally is, they're literally saying love is most important. The companies that I talked to that I said, and I would say this to them, I said, if you really want to grow your business, stop talking about business and start talking about family before you talk about business. Start talking about what they love and what's important to them, and even with your employees, with your customers, with, you know, start with the human place of love before you bring business into play. And the companies that did that, they were shot through the roof.
Yep.
Because they started retaining employees for longer. Their customers started being more loyal to their company because they felt love in the process. And it always comes back to that simple place of love one another. I think Jeshua got it right. Imagine that.
Well, what else?
What else? Love one another. There's nothing else.
In my opinion, it's all about love, and yeah, and just to remember love, and that starts with me, myself, and I.
Yeah. Yes.
That I do not blame. That I do not complain about how I look like, how I behave, whatever. I think it starts in me. I can never expect that we are experiencing peace in the outside as long as I'm fighting against myself, as long as I fight in my relationship, as long as I whatever. I think everything starts in me.
Yeah. And each person is in the eye of their own storm. And the storm is swirling around them, and this is all the experiences and stimulus of life that's around them. And the way you calm that storm is to calm the eye, is to be at the center calm and let it dissipate around you. And that's what creates the calm skies and the beautiful seas, and is by going back, as you said, going back to myself.
Absolutely.
You know, as I said earlier, when you seek a path is laid before you, but until you turn it back to yourself, you'll never find the doorway. You'll always be seeking without. And, you know, modern new age gurus and teachers, they'll all tell you, you have to follow their way. You know, old religions will tell you, you have to follow their way. But spirituality is a personal journey. It's about finding that place within. And the more you strip away, that's the meaning of enlightenment. You know, people think it means light shows and giant big experiences. In reality, it means I've come down to a place where I'm unburdened by anything else. I'm lighter. I'm enlightened.
Exactly. So I always told my clients, you know, I don't really want to meet you very often. The thing is, I just want to guide you for a certain period of time, and then you walk alone. Because I love to support them and to guide them to enlighten their light, their inner light, and then they don't need me any longer.
Yeah, I love that about you and your work, because it aligns very much with my work. You know, I do private sessions, but when my greatest joy in life is opening up my email and getting an email from somebody who took that private session and changed their life, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a woman who is a very good friend of mine now, Jenny Brown. When I met her, she was in a bad job with bad employers, being treated poorly, making no money. But she wanted to go teach yoga on the beach in Florida and live in Florida. And Jenny Brown lives in Florida teaching yoga on the beach right now. She literally changed her entire experience and changed her life into exactly what she wanted. But she had to change her belief about it first.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I'm my own creator.
Mm-hmm.
With all my thought, conscious or unconscious, subconscious thoughts, the more I become my own observer.
Right.
Exactly. The more I have a free choice.
Yeah.
Do I want to step into the old pattern, or
right,
do I let it happen.
I love the fact that you went to the observer, because you have to observe what you believe before you can change it. You've got to figure out what those beliefs are. And the more you strip away of beliefs of limitations and parameters, you start to realize you can fly and you can do anything. It's like, I call it being living in a velvet cage. You know, we put these parameters around ourselves. We get very comfortable in our cages because of the velvet, but that velvet is the fact that we know how to manage this set of fears. But we can literally open the door and fly and realize we can do anything, anywhere.
Absolutely. John, recently I read a quote, and this quote says, "I only believe what I see." And this is not true, because people only see what they believe.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly right.
And go ahead.
It's life-changing when you realize that, because the idea, you know, I walked into a restaurant with a guy one time and he said he hated the place and I loved the place. And at the same table, he had a surly waitress and I had a beautiful waitress. He had a terrible meal. I had a wonderful meal, right? And we were at the same table having the experience. And it came down to understanding that everything comes from me, and that what I will see in the world will be what I choose to believe about the now and hold on to. And then when you align your thoughts with your words and your deeds, everything happens faster.
Yeah, you,
in the Bible, the mom comes to Jeshua and says, "Hey, they're out of wine." He goes, "Mom, come on, it's not time yet," right? And then he turns around and he says, "Put water in those jugs, place those jugs over there where they're going to collect wine." And there was wine. He believed wine was coming to the experience, and he just started doing all the things in alignment with wine being served. Right? He started putting his thoughts, words, and deeds in alignment with his belief, and next thing you know, his entire experience of wine changed. Little do we know, he was a wino.
I guess we have a little bit to do to make people even more aware about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and you know what? We can get into the idea that it's a mission to save others, or we can choose to make our part of the world so bright and let them choose to save themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the faster way to get the job done.
You know, you are an amazing role model for me.
Oh, thank you.
And what I love is, by the way, for all people who are watching this video at the moment, Expanding Spirit is John's channel, YouTube channel. And he's posting, I guess, from Monday to Friday, every single day, a fantastic, outstanding video, and I definitely love them. I definitely love them so much because he keeps things simple, and that's what it really is all about. We thought it has to be complicated. We have to study this. We have to but actually, you are making everything much, much easier because you show a very simple, easy way of life only when I allow myself to have an easy life.
Peter, I thank you for that. I'm honored that you would say that. You actually gave me goosebumps, so for saying it.
And it must be true.
It must be true. But you know, what for me, one of the things that made life so much easier was measuring everything against simplicity. When something comes up that seems too complex and my brow starts to furrow, what's that mean? And that's not for me. You know, I can just simply be love, and I am John, and I am love. And when I put myself into that state, what happens is the world around me drastically changes. People treat me with smiles and laughter. I walk through a store and they engage with me. Right? I'm not doing anything, just being love.
Just be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
well, it's all about just be love. I experience exactly the same, and I love to be a role model for many other people just by being love.
Yeah. And that's what I like so much about our conversations is we come together as people who are peers who understand this truth. And in that understanding of that truth, we have these experiences in life that's just beautiful. And the people who are using fear and anxiety or to manipulate others into their belief system, it doesn't affect us because we recognize the fear before we recognize the manipulation.
And I have a free choice how I want to, if I want to act or react or respond. And, you know, as long as I react, you know, I'm addicted to to the weak part and to all the struggles and so on. But I have the opportunity to respond.
Yes, yes. And the phrase that I came up with when I was a corporate speaker, I still use it today. It's be an action hero, not a reaction zero.
Yeah, exactly.
That action hero is a choice. You get to choose to act and not react out of the stimulus that's being given to you. And when you're choosing to act out of love, your experience in life changes dramatically.
For me, it's very freeing. That's for sure. Because, you know, the more I observe myself, I give myself a laugh because I know I could easily step into that garbage at the moment, or I let it as it happen. And because I don't have to do anything, I just let it happen. And this is that gives me so much peace, that gives me so much, well, always a smile on my face, because I know my life before, I thought I have to react. I have to, John, what do you think? Like this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. I don't have to respond. I don't have to react at all.
And I would say in those moments, especially, exhale.
And the funny thing is, you know, I think, I don't know if I have shared that with you in one of our sessions before. I recently had a conversation with someone and he was, in the beginning, he was angry about, I don't know, about the day, what happened with him. And then I was so in silence. I was so much in peace. And then he started, because I did not react in his expected way. So he started shouting at me. And by the way, and he was screaming, he was shouting. And I was completely silent. I was completely calm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I understood, you know, it's all about I did not fulfill his expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that made him even more angry.
Yeah. And but, expectations can be a trap.
Yeah.
You know, I do private sessions with people, helping them break free of their limiting beliefs. Basically, that's the job that I do. And I have some people who show up at my meetings expect me to, you know, read their Akashic records or tell them their future. And they have these expectations and they're very disappointed when I don't meet their expectations, right? Which is why I'm very clear in all of my marketing that I don't do any of that, right? But when people come with expectations, they walk away saying, you didn't meet my expectations. Well, your expectations were unrealistic in the situation. So, you know, come back to the idea of I'm just here and being present as opposed to trying to create something or and then you coming into expression trying to create an outcome to your liking isn't always the best thing for you, really.
You know, it's all about whose expectations are they?
Yeah, right.
Is it the ego's expectations or is that your true self?
That's exactly right.
And does the true self has any expectations?
Right. And when you're in the ego mind is always about threat assessment. It's about what's going to harm the individual. And so the ego mind is kind of a product of fear.
Absolutely.
So we're looking at it from the product of fear and we're like, okay, so they come at me angry, mad, frustrated, losing their expectations or whatever. And I just, before I do anything, I exhale and I just listen. Just listen to what they're saying and listen to how they're saying it, because that vehement energy is a product of fear, right? And when you can listen to it and decipher what the fear is, you can overcome the fear and help them with a solution for their fear.
Absolutely. And as you said before, just exhale. And
just exhale.
And it's so exhale. Important. And exhale. And enjoy the peace. Enjoy the silence. And I experience that by myself. The more peaceful, the more silent I am, or it's in me, the more I see, the more I feel, the more I know what to do as for the next steps.
Yeah. And that is it. When you come to that is coming to the stillness within, that place where I am God, be still and know that I am God. When you come to that peace inside of yourself, that is the stillness, because all of the motion coming from stimulus is reaction. And when we stay in this place of stillness, we don't have to react to the stimulus. We just think of it as information. And we go, okay, why are they thinking that way? What's the fear here? Can I resolve their fear for them out of love?
Exactly. So the recipe is always love.
Always love. Everything comes back always to present love. Moment love. And present moment love.
I love to call, exactly. And what I love, for me personally, is dive into that stillness. And sometimes I have this feeling of not even know, not who I am, what I am.
Right.
Pure consciousness. And pure consciousness is ease.
Yes. There's a Hindu proverb that goes, the drop dropped its name and became the ocean. You drop the identity of self. You drop the expression that you're not connected to everything. And suddenly you're in that greater consciousness. Itzhak Bentov. I had to hang up on him. Itzhak Bentov was an amazing scientist studying consciousness. And he died, and his wife picked up his work and carried it forward. And what was interesting is he talked about consciousness in a really interesting way. He says, consciousness is levels of awareness. Mm-hmm. And on the ego plane, we are individual, and we're only aware of our individual mm-hmm. self. But the more we open up to people and become more aware, we start to finish each other's sentences. We start to have this awareness that we're really connected to this other person. And the more we expand that consciousness further, we start to realize that we're picking that up from everybody. And then we drop the name and we become the ocean, because now we're part of this oneness exactly. expression. And to me, that's it's wonderful. In Christianity, there's something called the Trinity. And though it's not in the Bible, it's a third century edition. I kind of like it, because it's like the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Father being the God consciousness, the ocean. The Son being the drop. And the Holy Spirit is that higher self, that person within you that's aware of its divinity and aware of its individual self. And that's where your intuition comes from and all that stuff. So to me, I look at it as levels of awareness. And then you go back to that quote I said earlier, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, right? I'm dropping down into a valley, a lower level of awareness, where there's this illusion that I may die, because life is eternal, the shadow of death, mm-hmm. shadow of death, right? Not the valley of death, but the shadow of it. I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. So I'm coming down into the physical world and creating the consciousness of the top of the mountain in the bottom of the valley. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you're really, truly being able to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, bringing love into the fear place.
Yeah, you know, I love this state of being, because it everything is, and there is no desire
right.
just to right. be, just to be. There is no desire. I don't want to have a beer. I don't want to have this. I don't want. It's so much full. Well, maybe that's not the perfect word. It's so fulfillment.
Yeah, absolutely. And the less, you know, Buddha would talk about releasing attachment. You know, I started releasing attachment to needing to have a really tasty, tasty meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy tasty meals. They're lovely. I love them. I've been eating them. But the need for it would make me overindulge in it. The attachment to that, needing that experience. And I just started eating in a way that made me feel good about myself. Made me feel good. And I would go and I would have ice cream if I wanted ice cream or whatever. And once I changed that mindset about it, since last December, I've lost 67 pounds.
Mm.
And it was not about the diet itself. It was about releasing attachment to food.
Exactly.
Right. And so it's a very different experience.
You know, who was hungry? Who right. was hungry? Was it a pattern in you?
Yeah, and it was the ego needing something to make them feel better.
Exactly. Yeah. Do we want to feed our ego, or do we want to live our true self? Right, do we exactly. want to live our passion? Do we love? Do we want to live our mission? And you know, I guess we have a we have a choice to live our true self. And the thing is, as long as I'm not aware, I have no choice because I'm feeding constantly the. Right. Feeding constantly the ego. And I think this is an amazing wake-up call to become aware, hey, listen, I love to become an observer.
Yeah.
And to observe and to check, do I want to react or do I want to respond? And how do I want to respond?
Right, exactly. And the going back to that Yoda quote, named must your fears be.
Yep.
Being the observer means you have to identify what you're believing.
Absolutely. Right?
And then once you've identified the believing, then you have the ability to get very present. Mm. And once you're very present, then you become even more of an observer because now you're observing what's coming to you in stimulus.
Yep.
And then once it comes to the stimulus, you can come from that place of that stillness and that exhale. And your responses will become normal to just respond with silence. Because you'll be listening before you speak and you'll be expressing love before there's a fear response, which is really amazing.
So fear, anxiety, jealousy, what you can name it, anger, it's the illusion of absence of love.
The illusion of love's absence. And you just gave a list, fear, anxiety, jealousy. I would say all of them are fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just different labels of fear, right? So I look at the love and fear thing, but some people think of it as this or that. I think of it as a sliding scale. You've got love here, you've got fear here, and right here in the middle is neutral, and right here is annoyed, and right here is amused. Mm-hmm. And it just gets bigger and bigger and broader, and the louder and the screamer, it's just more and more love and more fear. And it always comes back to keeping yourself consciously on the love side of that scale.
Absolutely.
Be it amused or just ecstatic love, either way.
Mm-hmm. It's our choice.
Our choice. Always has been, always will be.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What that means, so be it. It means right
so
here, right
be
now,
it.
Done.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. John, please help me. So I have mentioned your YouTube channel, Expanding Spirit. Where do they find you in the internet?
Well, right now, you're going to find me at Expanding Spirit on YouTube. You're also going to find me on the Recovering Catholic on YouTube. I have a website right now that's John of New that will soon be pointing to a new website called Expanding Spirit. It is already being built and it's already in the process. But right now, if you go to www.johnofnew.com, it's going to take you to whichever site is set up to take you to at this point.
Okay.
But John of New will point to Expanding Spirit, and eventually because it will be Expanding Spirit.
I will write it down underneath.
Oh, great. Awesome. Huh? Perfect.
So, is there anything else we have to know at the moment?
I think we've kind of covered the simplicity of love.
Exactly.
In its fullest.
While we were talking, John, I would love to have you in another interview because we could anytime. Easily talk for hours, I guess.
Anytime, Peter. You know, but you're my friend and I'm there for you.
And for me, it's like to let people digest what we have talked. Otherwise, we could easily overload the cage.
Oh, absolutely. And for those of you who are watching this, watch this many times because a lot of things were said in here that you may have missed in the conversation. So go back and listen again because you're going to hear those little tidbits that are going to make you go, oh, and realize when you hear something that makes you go, oh, you're naturally exhaling. You're actually hearing a truth of yourself.
Exactly. And it's not only about the words. It's, as you mentioned before, God is talking to you in feelings and emotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whenever I watch a video from you, for example, or when I want to get the content, I always be aware of the feelings and the emotions because this is all about to comprehend about the content.
I love it. So thank you for promoting it too, Peter, because my goal in life is to affect as many people in the world with their own empowerment. So that they can come and find their own divinity within themselves. And I'm not in this for the money. I'm in this for the changing of the world. And we do that one person at a time. And that person is always you, the one who's listening.
Absolutely. Thank you so, so much for having you here, John. I'm already looking forward for the next interview with you.
Well, Peter, we will have fun with that.
We'll see. So thank you so much.
Thanks to you, the audience, for supporting Peter and his loving work, because it's important work that's being done. And I appreciate you being there for him. And if you could just continue that love for him, you've done something for me too. So thank you.
Thank you so much.